This is the bargaining meeting for UFF-UWF, March 1st, 2013. I'm Brendan Kelly.
Oh, Mike Battamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Cindy Faria.
Tom Waslevac.
Kathy Romack.
Enid Siskin.
John Fink.
Bill Haraway.
Ryan Demian. Steve Belko.
Susan Walsh?
No.
Well, Kathy, I wrote a letter.
Mm-hmm. And we received your letter, and well, the first thing I'd like to ask you is whether you have any proposals for us today.
Well, we have responses on three things that I thought were left hanging at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The first was the question of whether or not there's been any kind of experience in the other universities that have gone to reducing sick leave payout balances and severance, if they have experienced an increase in sick leave use. And there's not a lot of universities that, you know, that are doing that right now, but we made contact with them, and they don't have any information on that.
Okay.
You know, they don't know.
It hasn't been long enough, probably.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they're ever going to track it, because they'd have to, you know, no one's sitting around adding up sick leave balances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they'd have to probably go in and do some kind of computer search and run to see, you know, over time whether sick leave use is increasing or decreasing, and they're not going to do that for us. So we don't have anything on that, so we're still at, you know, sick leave, I guess, we still need to talk about that process. The second issue was this retirement exception issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be unable to accept the language that was proposed. We're going to give you in a few minutes is some research that we looked into on that. It appears as if the intent of the change in the law was that if a person retires, and as a result of retiring they acquire some benefit, whatever that might be, as a retiree, they cannot come back to work and get retirement benefits. Now, I know that they're in changing that and creating that law, they were really after people who are doing the thing that I was talking about, which is they retire from the state as an employer or official, and then they start drawing benefits, or they lock in benefits, and they come back to work, and they start drawing a salary from the payroll. And this is what's prohibited. I don't know how, and you know, Tom, you said you were doing it someplace else, but I don't know how you get around that law by creating your own retirement benefit. I mean, it would still defeat the purpose of the law.
Well,
because you would still technically be double dipping.
Well, I guess maybe that's just the interpretation of the law. With the way we've interpreted the law is that you can't strictly participate in FRS or ORP, but that doesn't prevent the employer from setting up a separate retirement account. In fact, I think I'm not completely positive about this, but doesn't President Benz get a separate 403B type that doesn't have anything to do with FRS?
I don't know, but did she ever retire?
Well, no, but it's not.
She was in drop.
She has one separately. Yeah, and the same goes, I think, with a lot of the state college presidents, that they have separate retirement accounts.
Well, I mean, but I think there's a law now that is designed to prevent someone from retiring and then returning and drawing pay and getting a retirement benefit. It's not a regulation of, you know, this is my point.
I understand.
I think it was a regulation of the Florida retirement system, because they were trying to police their own system, then maybe you would say that's not a change. But I think it's a state statute intending to prevent a practice, period.
But it doesn't prevent the practice. I mean, what's happened is, in this case, this person has worked,
cashed out retirement, and now is coming back and working. They're not stopping this person from drawing a salary after theoretically having cashed out their retirement pay.
No, it doesn't stop them from drawing a salary. It stops them from accruing any additional retirement benefits. They, in essence, when they cashed out, they retired. I mean, the way they cashed out is the way they cashed out. But it would be no different than if they were drawing a monthly check. It's still a retirement benefit.
But that wouldn't stop double dippers. I mean, somebody could be withdrawing a retirement check. They're not getting more into the retirement system, but they're still drawing retirement as well as getting paid if they come back to work at the university. I mean, if the intent is to stop double dipping, this doesn't do it. It just keeps them from accruing more money in the retirement system.
Well, it stops them from getting a retirement benefit.
But the question here is really about whether the law, as it stands in the books, intends, as you put it last time, to not allow people to kind of come back into the system. That's the issue. The double dipping is kind of beside the point. You know, for the purposes of our discussion, we're concerned with this retirement situation. And so what is it in the law that would prevent the university from providing a comparable alternate 401k?
Because the law prohibits someone from being employed, retiring, returning to work with the state, which they can. I think they have to sit out a year now, right?
Right.
It used to be 30
yeah.
days. Now they have to sit out a year. They can return to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And draw any new retirement benefits.
But does it say that, or does it say you can't draw from the Florida retirement system?
Well,
that's my question.
That's kind of the way we understand
that it's Florida retirement system. That does not preclude the university from, you know, providing a retirement benefit for these faculty.
But the purpose. But the purpose behind that is not to protect the Florida retirement system's coffers. I think the purpose behind the law is to prevent people from retiring and getting the benefit and then creating a new platform of benefits when they are reemployed after a year. That's the intent. So,
well,
I mean, the state could say, listen, you can't pay somebody, you know, there's this new law that says you can't pay somebody, which is something we have to talk about too today. You know, there's this new law that says you can't pay people for work already performed.
Okay, well, let's not go down that path.
No, we might, but I'm just saying, you know, it would be the same thing as if you were to say, this isn't that, I'm calling it something else, but I'm giving you an equivalent benefit. It's still, the Auditor General is going to come in and say, I don't get it.
Well, I understand your point, and it sounds like we just have to agree to disagree, but it's your intent versus what we think it was intended versus what the legislature intended. Mm-hmm. So I guess at this point, you know, so it just sounds like we need to agree to disagree. If
right.
you want to hand us the statute, yeah. We'll go have our folks take another look at
and
it.
And also, could you know, sure. Did you do any research into the number of faculty that may be here at UWF that are impacted by this?
Well, we looked at it. We believe there's one.
And what are you doing for that person at this moment?
Well, this person, when they exited, I'm not free, I think, to get into names or...
That's fine. What's being done?
Yeah, when this person exited, they signed a document saying that they were fully aware of the fact that they're retiring and that if they return to the university, they will not be eligible to accrue any future retirement benefits. And they signed that document when they left. So that's what we're doing. We're following that document.
Okay. Well, and are there any other faculty on this campus impacted by this at this time?
Not that we are aware of. Not that we're aware of. But we know of at least one.
Yeah. Could you confirm that? You know, it would seem to me that would be kind of important to know.
We could try to confirm that. I mean, I'm not surprised that number is low because this law is relatively new. So it would only be people who left in retirement status and returned after the passage of that law. So it's probably not very many.
Yeah, so it seems like this will take a little more research. We'll have to look at the law and figure out exactly what, you know, what it says.
And just for background, not that we're giving you this to make any particular point, you know, we're not, this isn't Exhibit A.
Are you sure?
But just so some background, this is the bill, and these are two articles from
this is a press release, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. Do we just know it for what it is? It's a press release by a politician.
I didn't. I'm just saying that. Okay. It's background.
Okay. All right.
You see, that's what it says. A growing number of elected officials is to collect retirement benefits and a state salary. And that's not what you're saying. You're saying it's not a state salary and retirement benefits. It's a state salary, retirement benefits, and adding to the retirement system.
Yeah, but the same law. I mean, if you read down into it, what they're trying to do is stop people who are leaving the state, retiring, taking retirement benefits, coming back, drawing salaries, and drawing retirement.
Well, we're
benefits.
Not concerned with getting people who have already retired or of a retirement age benefits. So that they're double dipping. That is not our intent. Our intent is to protect faculty who are being falsely classified as retired. That's our concern. So people who are not, you know, of retirement age, people who are, have vested in at some point in the system, gone out of state, cashed out their retirement, come back in their mid-40s or even 50s, you know, and to take jobs here. And what you're telling me is that the law prohibits us from providing them with a retirement benefit. So that's what you're saying.
Because they already received a benefit. If they cashed out, they received a benefit.
But it's your position that the statute that prohibits the double dipping, as you call it, specifically prohibits employers around the state, government employers, from creating a separate retirement benefit for re-employed annuitants, I guess, lack of a better term.
I think it would violate the spirit of the law, yeah. I think if an auditor general came in and audited it, the auditor general would say, you can't do this. What you cannot do through the Florida retirement system, you can also not do through some sort of third-party creature.
Sure, okay. I think
perhaps
we
should call the auditor general and find out what...
Good luck with that.
We'll talk in August. Yeah, that's okay. We understand your position.
Because, I mean, hey, listen, it's a lot of these things that are going on right now in terms of the statute. This statute, and I'm not gonna, I won't go into it, about, but Tom knows about this.
15, extra state compensation,
the extra 15, compensation, and severance pay, and 6 week severance pay, and all that sort of stuff is. That's a lot of it is being driven by the Auditor General. The Auditor General could not take a more conservative, by conservative, I shouldn't say conservative, should not take a more expansive view of the limitation of the statute. I mean, they're saying, you know, I think they have already told two universities that their compensation plan violates the statute.
Well, I guess, you know, again, all that's going to be hashed out in the courts, it sounds like, so, because apparently this is being applied to school boards and retroactive pay raises for salary increases and that kind of thing. So.
I think this year's legislature is going to take this back up to see if it was their intent to have a law that was going to do things like prevent someone from settling an employment dispute with more than 6 weeks' salary.
Right.
Or if you have somebody who's on contract for a year and you let them go halfway through the contract, you can't pay them out the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I don't think that's what the things. We don't think that that's what the law intended. It was intended to stop sort of the self-dealing when senior executives are being shown the door.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, be that as it may.
All right. Well, the third thing that you asked, I think, Kathy, and if I'm forgetting something, please remind me, but the third thing you asked is if we would today commit to whether or not we were going to reopen anything in the contract. Mm-hmm. And we're not.
Okay.
You're not going to what?
Reopen any additional articles.
Okay, good. So.
I mean, I think that leaves us with that severance issue. We're not at a place today where we can do wages. You know, it's kind of an awkward time legislatively. I hear that there's money in Tallahassee. We just don't know who's going to get it.
There's plenty of money in Tallahassee.
We just don't know who's going to get it.
Or who's got it.
Yeah.
And so you anticipate being able to have a response to us on salary in May. Is that what
I think
understand?
We'll have a much clearer picture, yeah, and be able to do that in May.
Okay, I think we need a caucus.
Can I just, for the record, ask one question?
Yes.
You said you have a commitment to not open additional articles. I'd just like to make sure everybody's on the same page as what would be additional. What articles are open at this point?
I think you have. I think what we have on the table. Yeah, we have leaves, salaries,
benefits, and severability.
Salary benefits.
And we put a duration clause, but our duration clause is for the full book.
Yes.
Okay. So that's not okay. That's what I was just trying to do for the record, was try to figure out what constituted additional versus not additional. Which ones?
In other words, we're not going to reopen.
So four articles.
Yeah, performance evaluation or summer or something like that.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Okay, we're going to check on the retirement legislation. We need some time to look into that. But in response to your letter, we have a letter of our own responding to your interpretation.
Okay.
And we clearly disagree about about our interpretation of our right to the 2012-2013 reopener. We just want to make it clear that we reserve the right to declare impasse over these negotiations. And I guess the only other thing that we have for you is that we will take the information that you've given us today and take it under consideration and get back to you.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate the letter. You certainly have your right to assert your perspective on that and your reading of it. I'll make copies and we'll all read it before the next meeting.
All right, great.
Have it memorized?
I might memorize it. Will there be a test on it?
Of course. These are all educators, so what do you think is going to happen there?
No.
Spelling counts.
What was a misspelled word in my letter? Okay, great, Kathy. I appreciate that. Anything else you want to?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.